Good morning and welcome to Finance Pulse. Today is Wednesday, June 24th, 2026. This is your banking finance function briefing, and I want to start with the simplest version of today's stakes. By the time you listen to this tonight, you will have the Federal Reserve's 2026 stress test results in hand. By the time you listen to this tomorrow morning, you will have the May PCE print. Those two data points together will reset the second half planning assumptions for every bank CFO in the country. Let's build the context you need to use both of them. Start with rates, because everything else flows from there. The 10-year Treasury yield closed Tuesday at 4.5%, its highest level in about 2 weeks. The 2-year climbed above 4.2%, reaching its highest level since February of 2025. These are not small moves. They happened because of a single driver. Markets repriced the probability of a September Fed rate hike to 68%, up from 29% just last week. That is a 40-point swing in 1 week. Both Deutsche Bank and BofA Global Research have now formally revised their forecasts to include a hike in September. The proximate cause was the hawkish tone out of the Warsh Fed last week. The confirming data comes tomorrow, when the Bureau of Economic Analysis releases the PCE print, the Fed's preferred inflation measure. The last reading we have is core PCE at 3.3% in April, ticking up from 3.2% in March. If tomorrow's number comes in above that, the September hike moves from likely to near certain. And every asset liability committee in the super-regional cohort needs to run that scenario through its NIM model immediately. The NIM implications of a hike scenario are not straightforward. The industry average NIM in Q4 2025 was 3.39%, the highest since 2019. But that average masks a lot of dispersion. Banks with floating rate assets and disciplined deposit pricing could see incremental expansion if the Fed hikes. Banks that locked into fixed rate assets during the hold period face duration drag regardless of where rates go. The fee income story is the offset. Analysts are clear that the bank delivering the resilient earnings story in this environment is the one that expands fee income faster than NIM compresses. Watch that ratio when Q2 earnings start hitting in 2 weeks. Now to the stress test. The Fed releases the 2026 DFAST results this afternoon at 4 p.m. Eastern. 32 large banks. The scenario this year models a severe global recession with unemployment rising to 10%, a 30% decline in home prices, and a 39% drop in commercial real estate values, alongside turbulence in corporate debt markets. Here is the thing that makes today's results structurally different from any prior year. The Fed has already confirmed the results will not reset capital requirements, which remain frozen through 2027, while the framework is under review. That changes what you should be watching for. The absence of a capital binding constraint shifts the main post-results action to voluntary capital return decisions. Banks that come through the CRE scenario with manageable projected losses have a green light to accelerate buybacks. Banks with elevated CRE stress estimates on paper will face investor questions regardless of the non-binding nature. So the dividend and buyback announcements that come in the next 72 hours are the real signal to watch. There is also a contrarian read on today's results worth flagging for client conversations. Precisely because these results carry no regulatory bite, banks have less incentive to manage the narrative the way they might in a year when capital requirements are directly on the line. That makes the raw cross-bank CRE loss dispersion in today's results potentially the most honest public signal of system-wide commercial real estate stress we have seen in years. For any CFO advising on loan portfolio strategy, the per-institution CRE loss estimates tell you a lot about where concentration risk lives in the super-regional peer group. One more regulatory item with a new twist. The temporary 10% blanket tariff under Section 122 of the Trade Act expires on July 24th. Markets are now actively assessing whether that gets replaced by longer-term Section 301 tariffs. For bank CFOs and credit teams, this is a new planning assumption risk that was not on the radar last week. If tariffs extend or escalate, loan loss provisioning models for commercial borrowers in trade-exposed sectors need a scenario refresh before Q2 earnings guidance is finalized. On AI and finance, the theme today is not adoption, it is accountability. 44% of finance teams are now using agentic AI, according to Wolters Kluwer. a more than 600% increase from last year. But the more important shift is where the money lives. In 2024, AI budgets sat in innovation and R&D funds with loose return requirements. By 2026, the majority of CFOs are allocating AI spending as operational technology capital. The same governance rigor as ERP investments and headcount decisions. 76% of CFOs are now budgeting specifically for autonomous agent deployment rather than co-pilot tools. The buying signal here is real. The accountability question is what separates production deployments from vendor marketing right now. Any agentic AI system acting on a bank's financial data must produce a fully traceable audit trail. A hallucinated journal entry is not a product bug, it is a material misstatement. That is the test every controller should apply to any vendor pitch. On the treasury side, the accuracy benchmark now exists in production. 13-week cash forecasting with agentic AI is reaching 88 to 92% accuracy in live environments, which is the threshold at which a forecast becomes defensible to a board and usable as the basis for a liquidity decision. For bank treasurers under LCR and NSFR constraints, that number is now a procurement anchor. The name deployment that should anchor your client conversations on ROI, the tool built jointly by Deloitte and Hewlett-Packard Enterprise, now called CFO Insights, is cutting HPE's financial reporting cycle by approximately 40%. That is a production result from a named organization with a named vendor. For any bank finance transformation conversation that is still at the should we explore stage, that number closes the exploration phase. Let me close with your three conversation hooks for today. First, with September hike probability now at 68%, ask your client whether their NIM forecast models a hike scenario. And if not, what does Q3 guidance look like if it materializes? Second, once DFAST results are public tonight, the per bank CRE loss estimates give super-regional CFOs a rare cross-institution stress comparison at a 39% CRE decline scenario. Pull the results for your client's peer group and map the concentration risk story. Third, if your client's finance transformation program is still funded from an innovation or R&D line, it is now structurally disadvantaged against programs that have reclassified AI spend to CapEx. The conversation to have is what ROI metrics, the 40% reporting cycle reduction is a live benchmark, would justify that reclassification to a CFO. That is Finance Pulse for Wednesday, June 24th. Results drop this afternoon. PCE drops tomorrow morning. Stay close to both.